Now it's my turn. Well, again, I want to thank you for the opportunity to be with you this morning, to share with you what things are like for Christians who are living in China, and the difficulties and obstacles that they face, and that they are facing, by the way, with faith and a great deal of courage. I was invited to discuss Christianity in the nation of China this morning, and so in this particular session, we are going to be looking at the church in China. And Jesus said, you know, after Peter's confession, on this rock I will build my church. And it's built on that same foundation wherever it is. And so I want you to see that they do church differently than we do. I never see a situation like this in China. And it doesn't mean it's less or wrong. It's just simply different. So this is a broad subject this morning. I'm going to spend a little bit of time on the church in general in China. And what I mean by that is Christianity in China. Christianity as a world views it. And then I'll spend more time towards the latter part of the lesson on the Lord's Church in China, and even in groups that I believe are part of the Lord's group, Lord's Church. And I'll explain that a little bit more in just a moment. But I want to begin with the state-approved faiths that I talked about in the earlier section. During the Cultural Revolution of 1949, when Mao Zedong took control, all religion was banned in China. And it wasn't until he died in 1976 that that view, which is a typical Marxist no-God view, held sway. And then in 1979, religions were again officially recognized. And those are the faiths that are there. Now, there are only two of them that would fall under the broad category of Christian. I'm going to give you the names, because when I say Protestant and Catholic, your view of what that means is different than what they mean in China. The Protestant Church is called the Three Self Patriotic Movement. The Three Self Patriotic Movement. I'm guessing that has something to do with the Trinity. But that's the Protestant Church. Membership in 2012 was about 20 million people. The Catholic Church is called the Chinese Patriotic Catholic Church. Membership is around 6 million and has no ties whatsoever to the Vatican. It is just Catholics living in China. And so, again, just listening to those names, the Three Self Patriotic Movement Church and the Chinese Patriotic Catholic Church. In 1980, the Christian China Christian Council was formed, and they oversee all of the Protestant churches. And since that time, persecution in those churches has been sporadic. But if you're in China and you look up, you'll see buildings like that. They look very much like churches in America or in Western culture. And while their creeds speak of a Trinity, which again you can see in the Three Self and the Bible, in fact there is a state-approved Bible. Listen, when people tell you that you need to give money to organizations, this is free, by the way. This isn't in my notes. That you need to send money so they can send Bibles to China. A Chinese person can go in any state library and buy the very same Bible that those people are trying to get you to send them money to send. So Bibles are available in China. That's not an issue. It was before, but it's not any longer. Again, while they speak of the resurrection and judgment, these churches basically exist to support socialism and the state, which is why the word patriotic is in the names of these official churches. But there are a lot of unregistered and underground churches in China. Most of them will be referred to as a house church. And the house church movement in China earlier in the late 1900s, early 2000s, was huge. You could go to Shanghai and you'd go by a hotel and in their conference room, there'd be thousands of people meeting there to worship in a house church. These big groups like that were located in the very largest cities. They were charismatic. They were Pentecostal in their approach to the scriptures and in their worship. But in recent years, those churches have been dismantled. And when I say dismantled, in some cases they were just dynamited like this. This is just a frame from a video. That's why it's kind of fuzzy. They're getting rid of them, especially with the new president, new secretary. He's very anti-church and Western things, and there's just a purge going on, especially of the large house churches, and there's a lot more persecution of Christians that you and I would know. Now, these house churches, if they were willing to register with the state, they would be able to continue. They have to be state-sanctioned as a TSPM, the Three Self-Person Movement Church. But the government can restrict when you meet, where you meet, how long you meet. All of those things are in control of the government. House churches of less than 25 people are generally tolerated because they don't have a big danger factor to the government. And I will tell you that at some of these house churches, some of these smaller ones that are just scattered all over the country, I believe that they're basically teaching what we believe. We met with a group of Baptists who were involved in a state church. We met with them. They're missionaries from the United States. They're not even teaching Baptist doctrine over there because they believe the truth, and they're actually teaching what you and I would believe with regards to salvation and those kinds of things. But among these house churches that are not connected to any kind of missionary groups from this country, they have their Bibles. They see that the doctrine that's being taught in the state churches does not agree with what they read about in the scriptures. And they are seeking to sincerely restore Christianity, New Testament Christianity in those places. It's like China's having its own restoration movement in a very small way and in a secretive way. They can't come out like we did in this country in the 1700s, 1800s and have debates and hash these things out in public. That just would not be allowed. And we got to meet some of these people. One person... I'll tell you, one of the things Chinese people like you to do, especially if you baptize them, they want you to name them. They want you to give them an American name. This guy's name was Eddie. Eddie met with us, and we talked to him about what he was doing and the group that he was working with. He was very cautious of us. We had to meet in a very secret way with him. And they do that on purpose because, listen, that's their safety. But I'm very encouraged by that underground movement that's happening in China right now. To give you some idea of the intrusion of the government and the interference that they have, when I was over there and I would write emails back to Robin and give her what we'd done during the day and give her those reports, and then some people, even outside of our congregation, wanted that. They got on the email with her, and she would go through and change what I had written so you could understand it. So I couldn't ever use the word baptism in an email. So I would talk about that somebody got washed, or somebody took a bath, or that we had a swimming party, and you know, five or six people went swimming, and what that was in code was we had five or six people that were baptized. We could not talk about, and this is a quote from one of my reports that I had. We had seven come right at seven, which, by the way, is impressive that they were on time. They came right at 7. We had 3 beginners. These are new people that are new seekers. We had 4 who trusted. In other words, they already were believers, but they hadn't been baptized yet. And then we had 3 who had been washed. And so that way I could tell her who was attending my Bible class on that particular day. We had to split words up. If I'm writing believe, I had to put a space in between be and leave. And Lord's Supper became LS. Never talked about brethren, talked about friends, talked about guests. And the reason for that is that every email that's sent out is monitored by the Chinese government. And they have word recognition software. And then they'll come right back to where whoever sent it was, and you're out of there. So we have to be very careful about that. And that's just part of the animal that is China and working there. I never attended a state church and a state church worship, so I can't really tell you what that was like. I assume that it would have been similar to what you would find in a Catholic church here or a Protestant church here as far as form. I know the content would be a lot different than that. We were able to attend one church, and I think that would probably be more characterized as a house church than a state church, though I believe it was registered. This is a church in Beihai. You can see it down there in the very bottom of southern China. And I didn't realize I was ever that close to North Vietnam, but there you go. This was the sign that was out front in the street for the church. And I know you can all read that. I'll tell you, one of the things that struck me, I was kind of amazed. They use our numbers. And I thought, wow. And somebody looked at me and said, of course we use your numbers. There's not Chinese numbers. But there's the times of their services and all. It was there. The official that was over and controlling the churches in Beihai, we met him. He's a very kind guy, local person who I think wanted things to be more open. And listen, Beihai is not in the main of the Chinese nation. So we got to get away with some things. You can see here how well I blend in. You can't even spot me, which is always the way it was. The first time I went over, if we needed to cross a busy street, I would just start to step out. Cars would stop to see me. And then we would just walk across. I had one Chinese person that said, do you know Yao Ming, who used to be the center for Houston? Because all of us tall people hang out, you know. And it just kind of funny things like that. Now, I have a clip here. I don't know if this is going to work. I need to be able to. Oh, come on. It works on my computer at home. Is there some way I can get that to work? The video is, the video was here. I played it on this at home, on my computer.
I bet you didn't. It's not embedded in the PowerPoint.
Yeah, it is.
Is it?
Yeah. No. Well.
I bet you we can't get it.
Okay. All right. Well, and I thought maybe because when I did it on my computer at home on the PowerPoint, if I touched the screen with my mouse, it worked, and it's not working here. So anyway, they're singing, and they're rowing, and they're making, I mean, it looks like you're in a little kid's class with all the hand motions. And the song, I wish you could have heard it. The song is No Need to Fear the Waves When God Is in the Boat, is the title. And I'll bring it up on my laptop if you want to see it later. We just won't watch it now. This is their hymnal that they have at that church. And when we arrived, they were all standing. All the people were standing, and they were all praying. And so that struck me. Over in Acts, the 12th chapter, when Peter has been arrested, James has already been put to death. And we read here in the 12th verse. Let me go over here to that. When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Now, what I want you to think about is, what did that look like? When Peter got to Mary's house, and it says they were all gathered together and they were praying, what do you picture? I would guess that you would picture what we would do here. You'd have one, we're all gathered together, and so this person prays, and then he's done, and then maybe another, somebody else will stand up and pray, and he'll be done. And we do it in a very, that kind of a fashion. What was going on here when I went into this church is everybody was praying out loud at the same time. And over here was a woman who's praying and just weeping in her prayers. And here's someone else with their hands up just rejoicing. And all of these prayers, and I'll tell you, it's a sound, it's amazing sound to hear all of them praying. And they were, and that's probably what you see here in Acts. It's not just one person praying at a time. They're all praying. They're all praying for Peter. And you can hear that person over there praying for Peter, and the guy next to you, and the one back there, and you're praying, and everybody's praying together. And we would say, well, that's kind of chaotic. No, it's an amazing thing. It's an edifying thing. And which is what I said. Culture is different. We like things orderly. We like things chronological. Oriental culture cares less about those kinds of things. Anyway, I also want you to notice by the way, every Chinese person you ever take picture of is going to go like that. I don't know if it means peace or two or here I am or whatever. But I want you to look where you're sitting and what you're sitting on and the comforts that you have. And you'll notice that these are just very primitive benches. When we were meeting in other places, you can see some in the corner on the right side. I guess I can use this, can't I? Back here, this little area here. That's what those look like. Listen, those people would sit for 2 and 3 hours on those little stools while we taught them. And never complained. They were happy and hungry and wanting to hear. Here we are with that a group of those people from Beihai. They're in our hotel room, and we're having the opportunity to teach them. The pastor here, and I highlight him there, if I raise that up, you can see he's not really happy that all of his people are there listening to us, probably hearing things that he doesn't necessarily believe. But he allowed us in there and allowed us to teach his people because he thought he could get money from us. He's wanting to get a new building, and we're rich Americans, of course. We just ooze money everywhere we go. And we never, ever promised it. We never even hinted at it. That was totally assumption on his part. But, man, I'll tell you, we were so happy to be able to have an opportunity to teach these people, because they just wanted to listen. And they would not leave. I mean, you just had to keep going. Days over there start at 8:30, 9 o'clock, and they didn't end until 8:30 or 9 o'clock that night. And we had to make them stop so we could just stop to get something to eat. I mean, that's just the way that it was. So that's my one experience with the church of a house church and involved in that. I'm really sorry you couldn't see that clip, but I'll pull it up on my laptop and you'll be able to see it. So let's talk now about the local assemblies of the Lord's Church in China. And for the most part, these are groups of 10 to 20, maybe 30 people at a time. The slides that I'm going to show you are from various cities that we went to, and many of the cities that I'm going to name for you, you will never have heard of before. All of them, well over 1 million people in each one of them. And so the first one I'm going to start you with is the church in Shenzhen, which is 12.5 million people that live in this city. And here we are on Sunday morning, meeting in our hotel room with them. And You can see the Lord's Supper tray. I hope I got the wrong thing here. Right here, that's the Lord's Supper. That's the juice is in those cups. We stopped at a little convenience store earlier on our way before they came and found some crackers in the grocery store for the bread. I will tell you that for our evangelism and the church in China, this is one of the main challenges that we have, is encouraging them to assemble. Because of the fear, because of where are they going to meet? I mean, we provide a convenient place when we have a hotel room there. But to get them to meet regularly together and to worship together and to build those relationships is very difficult to get them to when you're only there for 2, 3, 4 days at a time before you're moving on to the next city. The next city I'm going to church is in Luzhou, and this is a city of 3.7 million. The woman in the front there with the pink on her lap, maybe that is her lap is pink, is the first lady that was converted there, and she has been bringing all of these other people in. You will notice if you're counting the men in this group, there's only 3 men that aren't Daryl and I. And some places have been, they're very scarce, and it's difficult for them to also then, for them to step into the role of leader in the church that they have. This is the city of Guangzhou. Guangzhou, I think, used to be Canton, and they changed it to Guangzhou. Guangzhou church is a little larger than some of the others. And it's a much healthier church than the others. And as you're looking through there, how many hoary-headed people do you see? It's just very difficult. Guangzhou is, from the Chinese point of view, is a model city. They went in there and they just rebuilt it. They modernized it. They modernized their roads and their infrastructure and their buildings and all of that. They invited IBM and all of these other major corporations to come in and place offices there, and so it's just inundated with young people, and because the population is young, the group there is young as well. And then this is where Guilin is. It's a tiny little town, only 4.8 million people. To give you an idea of Guilin, L.A. is 3.9 million. Guilin is 4.8. And you've never heard of Guilin before. I won't say there's millions of towns that have millions of people, but there's a lot of them. And in this particular group, we have more men in the congregation. There were others that are part of this little church that weren't able to be here for this meeting. Churches, as I said before, meet sporadically. They lack leadership in many cases. We would bring paperless hymnals with us on our laptops. And because most of these people are young, they do speak some English, and they learned the songs. They knew the songs, and we would sing together. Though I have to tell you that they don't have a lot of experience with people singing bass. They would stop, and I would stop, and then we would start. And the sessions that we had with these people are lengthy because you're using a translator. They speak English, but they don't have the English. The vocabulary is not there for Bible teaching. And so while I'm teaching and I'm telling them to turn to a passage, I'd have to stop, and then the translator would translate that and put it into words that they could understand. And so sessions would be 2 and 3 hours long just to get through a regular, normal lesson. This is Heidi. She was the translator that we had with us on my last trip. And Heidi is her American given name. The translator that we had on the previous trip that I was there, her name was Gadfly. She liked that name, and so that's what she chose. Heidi is now living in Bowling Green, Kentucky, and involved in producing videos and in China, in Chinese, and teaching materials that can then be sent over there. This is the translator that we had in Beijing. Her name is Christine Young. How old do you think she is? She's 40. I know. I would look at people and I'd say, why, did you just graduate from college? No, I'm 45 years old. You know, their complexions just are to die for. Anyway, Christine was an excellent translator. She was not a Christian, which didn't bother me at all, because now she's getting whatever I'm teaching twice, because she's getting it in English and then she's getting it again as she says it in Chinese. And she just did a really good job. I will tell you, one of the things that's kind of a thing that you become is, as you're talking, you'll say a word that you and I would very much understand, and they would say, what's that word mean? And so you had to become almost a walking thesaurus to give them other synonyms so that they could, oh, I know that one, and then they would use that word. They didn't care about the time that we spent together. When prayers were offered, you're going to hear an amen after every sentence. They're just so much there. As far as churches there having elders, that's way off in the distance. Just because of time that's needed and the relationships that needed, a husband and a wife that are both Christians, that are mature, and having more than one of those in a congregation is just it's daunting for them. So I'll tell you now about the church in Shanghai. And Shanghai is the second largest city in the world, with 24.24 million people. It's located right there, Shanghai. And it is on the Shanghai. This is one of those metropolitan districts that I talked about earlier this morning, with Shanghai in the middle of it. And I'm saying it correctly. It's not Shanghai, it's Shanghai. And I finally got myself in the habit of saying that, because it's like saying Puyallup here. You know, you don't want to say it wrong. And so that's what that is. This is a picture of Shanghai from my hotel room. And they are high rises as far as you can see. And if you could get in a plane, they would be further off. I mean, it's twice the size of L.A. It's huge. There are two churches that I know of in Shanghai. While I was there, there was an older man who'd come over from America to do some work there with me. And he went to one congregation Sunday morning, and I went to the other. And this church actually had a room, apartment kind of a thing that they rented. So they had it all the time. And it's the only one that I knew about, any church that I knew about that had that. The person taking the picture is another American who was living in Shanghai, he's from the Midwest, and working for a company there, and he worshiped regularly with the church there. Because of that, and I'll talk a little bit about I'll talk about that right now. See what I have on my notes. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself here. I'll go to the next slide. So you can see, I keep wanting to change the thing. This is the Lord's Supper. They actually had a Lord's Supper material, whatever that's called, settings. I'm lost. So they actually had small cups and bread and everything. It's very much, I would be used to that. The church hymnal was very interesting, because in every song, the first verse was in English, or they had English verses, and underneath it, they had the verses in Wu. But the Wu was spelled out with Western characters. Like I'm saying Shanghai, if you wrote it in Chinese, it wouldn't look anything like that, but that's the Chinese word. So because this American attended in that congregation, when they worshiped, they sang all of them sang the first verse in English, and then the rest of the song in Wu. But the music was the same, and I could read I could phonetically read it. And so it was very interesting to worship with them. There was a Bible class beforehand. Then I preached a sermon afterwards. This is, let me go back to that. I'm going the wrong direction. I'm still going the wrong direction. How do I go back? Oh, here. I keep pushing the same wrong side of the other thing. What this is, okay, I'll get there in a minute. All right. This is Cynthia, who is my translator there. And I'll talk a little bit more about her in a minute. Contributions were in, and that's where I was looking. I got this picture of their contribution bag in off the internet this week. Their contribution bag was red velvet, but it didn't have the handles on it. And I'm assuming that this is just, you know, they pass it and you put it in there. You have baskets, and you can see the thing. I put the arrow over there so you can see. It was under the table. And as people came, they pulled out the bag and they put their hand clear inside the bag and dropped their contribution and pulled their hand back out and then put it back. So there wasn't a collection that as you did here and as we do as well, but it just as people arrived, they made their contribution to the Lord. Very loving group, very well organized. They had a rotation of teachers that they used for their Bible classes on Sunday morning. It's a very good, thriving church. So I wanted to spend some time with you on baptism, and you've already seen all of my pictures. Baptism is has to be carefully done, cautiously done. Immersion is not the form of baptism that is taught by the state churches. It's sprinkling there. And so there's three ways for us to accomplish baptism. One is in a large body of water. This is out in Bay High. This is the Gulf of Tonkin, where a man was baptized, or several baptized that day down there. And then there's also hotel bathtubs. And you would just fill them up almost to the top. So that, and sometimes we fill them a little bit too much. And, of course, the water would be displaced by the person getting in them. And I still wonder what the hotel thought, because those Americans, they use so many towels, because we had to have towels for everybody that were being baptized. And you can see we just have to kind of push them down. This guy here, who we named Adam, he was so big in the shoulders, I really was afraid I was going to crunch his sternum pushing him down, which is why when he got up, he's smiling and no broken bones. I was very happy about that. What has happened more recently is, and you've probably discovered this as well, is hotels don't have bathtubs anymore. They have showers. And so we needed something else. You can't go down to the swimming pool. You wouldn't want to get down to the swimming pool. But it'd be too dangerous, it'd be too open. And so you can buy baby swimming pools in just about any baby store in China. And it's got little rods in it, and I love this picture because there's obviously a child swimming unattended by any adults, and what's keeping him safe is the life ring around his neck, keeping his head above water, but, you know, that's what you do. So we bought these, and that's what one looks like that we purchased, and the beauty of this is when we would go to an area and buy one of these, we could leave it with the people. So they always had a baptistry to baptize people in. And you get them down in there and dunk them down and get them out. And in this case, we put it in the shower so all the water goes right down the drain and it's not a problem. On this particular trip, we had several people that were being baptized. And they would generally bring clothes with them to put on to change out of. And so this girl, this lady, she's probably 90, girl, went in to be baptized. She wasn't 90. And we were standing outside waiting for her, and all of a sudden we heard splash. She could not wait. She just went ahead and baptized herself. So we went in and said, no, we need to do this. So don't get out. And so we baptized her. No matter what method you use, this is their reaction. They are so happy. Their sins are forgiven. They're in the Lord. And remember the picture that I showed you this morning from all the different ethnicities? Those are the 41 people that we baptized on my last trip there. 41 new brothers and sisters in Christ. And they're all happy as well. So the people in China are much more demonstrative in their love. And they want to hold hands all the time. When you're going down the street, they want to hold your hand. When Cynthia and another female Christian walked me back to my hotel from our lunch in Shanghai, they each took me by the arm and we walked down the street. That reminds me of the story I was going to tell you this morning about food. So we're sitting around this big, huge table. I mean, there must have been 15 of us are in this round table with this big Lazy Susan in front of us. And the woman next to me, there was one of those pots with seafood and stuff being warm and smelling wonderful. And the woman next to me took her chopstick and said, "Take that one. Oh, good. Good. That's a good one." So I took my chopsticks and I picked up, it looked like the cap of a mushroom. And so I was all for that. Grabbed it, and as I pulled it up, the tentacles were hanging down off of it. And I ate it. We had a kind of a bad situation with the other guy that was with me, the older guy. Saturday night, they were wanting to take us out to eat. And we went to this very fancy place, and we couldn't get seated for an hour or two. And so they said, "Okay, we'll go someplace else." And we went to this, I mean, it was just a mom and pop restaurant, Chinese restaurant. And the American from the Midwest was with us. So there were three American men and these two Chinese women. And when we sat down, the other guy, the older man that had come over, not the one that was living there, said, "Man, I sure would like to have a spoon." And those two women got up and left the restaurant. And they were gone for a while until they found him a spoon. It was a souvenir spoon, you know, people collect spoons. And the American that lived there reamed him out, said, "You have to be careful because these people will do anything for you." And the salt in the wound after that was that when we left, he left it there. He didn't take it with him. So that brings me to this story. As we're walking home, Cynthia has my arm, and she stopped and she looked at me and she said, "Dan," she said, "you're like a cup of tea in China." And I said, "What does that mean?" She said, "You're just like us. You eat what we eat. You go where we go." She said, "Not all Americans are like that." And it did what it's doing now to me. So important to relate to the people that you're with and to be where they are, to eat what they eat, and to fit in. That's why Paul said, "To the Jew, I became a Jew. To the Greek, I became a Greek." If you're in China, you better become a Chinese. And somebody said a minute ago that I don't look like I missed many meals. You didn't see me when I came back. Robin asked me on my way back, she said, "What do you want when we get home?" I said, "I want a chunk of something. I want something that comes in a slab, because everything is so tiny to eat with chopsticks. I wanted a steak. I wanted something I had to cut." The people there, the Christians especially, are very sincere in their faith, in the shadow of not just the threat of persecution, but very real persecution, some of which they have experienced themselves. And the growth of Christianity in China and the demise of Christianity in this country, sometimes I wonder if, not probably in my lifetime, but if at some point in time, there's going to be missionaries from China coming to the United States to teach the gospel to people here. What we taught the Chinese there to do is to become Christians is exactly the same that apostles taught people in the New Testament, that you have to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And allow that faith to change you and have a desire initially to change your life and to become like him. That's repentance. To be willing to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and then submit to baptism. And perhaps you're already a Christian and you see and are encouraged by the faith and the courage of these people, and you want to rededicate yourself. That'd be great to do that. Maybe you're not a child of God and you want to become a Christian and follow in the footsteps of these people who just have now given themselves to Christ. Is there an invitation song? Then let's stand and sing it. If we can help you, please let us do so.